Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
I feel like Mac, I'm trying to X him out. Take us to the, I feel like Mac, I wanna X him out. Martin Luther, peace it out. And I always show respect that Harry taught me, cause she knew the route. Cause she knew the route. So when we get them bricks in, we gonna take them.
Okay. All right.
Somebody call this woman Akbars, okay?
Akbars. That's her name. Look, so that was Akbar V giving a legendary freestyle when she was in the booth rapping about Black history figures. It was not February when that was originally posted, by the way. I want everybody to know. It was actually summertime. She got on like a camisole, if you look in the video. So you can tell it was warm outside. And Akbar V was rapping. That was just on her mind and her heart. Bless her heart. That was on her spirit. She was touched and moved to rap about Black historical figures. Malcolm, she felt like Malcolm trying to X him out. Martin wanted to piece him out. And something about Harriet Tubman, because she took the route. And when she said, I was
she
fine. Until she said.
But I like how she had to restart that first one. She was like, hold on.
I don't think
she was feeling that shit. She was feeling that shit. Akbar was feeling that shit from her ancestors. You know what I'm saying? They was drumming up the emotions in her and shit. I seen that picture of Haas when she had her hands up with the beautiful thing in her palm. Akbar had her hands up with some hypnotic bottles drawn in her palms.
No, but why did I see our sister and friend of the show, Shar, retweet this video talking about, I look forward to this every Black History
because Shar too felt like Malcolm trying to X him out. And with that being said, that was shout out to Akbar V with her Black History Month intro for us, okay? Because that is forever what I'm going to reference. Y'all can have the I Had a Dream speech. I'm playing Akbar V's studio session. Stir up the spirit in me, okay?
You and Shar.
There you go. With that being said, welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a Black history lesson from Akbar V? Hey, friend. Hey, Asante. How you doing?
I love you guys. How are you guys today? Y'all so crazy.
Good. I feel good. Dressed for the occasion. It's Black History Month. Okay.
Okay.
Hey. Friend, technically you are too.
Brown. Yep. You see okay. me?
And okay. I supply this cap. Asante, you are too. Black History Month. Okay.
We you are
ask
funny.
Somebody, baby. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. I actually want to thank everyone before we jump into our shenanigans for mm-hmm. pulling up to our Wednesday wind down last week.
Yes.
How cute was that for our Patreon supporters? We did a live stream and our friend, longtime friend of the show, Carrie's, yes. Carrie's Corner.
Yes.
Pulled up on us and we ended up having a blast for an hour with you guys. Talked about any and everything. It was like a live shoot the shit episode.
We was just kicking it.
It was amazing.
And it was so fun. It was yep. so good. A lot of you had some technical issues, whether you couldn't figure out how to click into it or you didn't know how to leave comments. We made a post on Patreon following the live stream that kind of broke down how to do all of those things. And to remind you that the next one will be on Wednesday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time. So hopefully we'll see you there. Crystal said she's going to join us.
Oh, yes, she did. She said it.
We're holding her to it.
I posted it. Okay,
we have the screenshot of her words in the chat. So that would be really fun. And it kind of made us think that it might be cute, too, to have our different friends pull up every month, which I think would be super cute, right?
Just rotate that chair out. I love the idea.
So, also want to thank everyone for pulling up to my class with Haas at the New Earth Mystery School. It was so fun. I cried, Dustin, because he was telling people, you make sure you go to this class, you hear? And then he had the Tammy Roman picture with the cigarette on her lip.
I want to help with the marketing. I want to help with the marketing push. So, you know, I just want to be on the marketing team.
Wait, it gets worse. And then Crystal gonna tweet Dustin talking about, so I guess we'll see you there. And then he gonna play a clip from Monet in Power where she's like, why you gotta make everything worse, Kane?
Oh God!
What was it? One thing about you, you gonna make everything worse.
Make shit worse. Hey.
It is the top of the episode.
Oh, yes. Y'all better have took your ass to New Earth Mystery School. I don't give a damn. Y'all had, they needed to go. They needed to learn about that code switching. They needed to learn about it.
It was
a
very good class. We had a conversation where I broke down how I use the chakra system. Dustin, you would have loved it.
I was there in spirit, which I felt was the most perfect. I felt like that was the perfect outfit for the occasion. Show up in spirit. You know what I'm saying?
I can't. No, but honestly, we had a great conversation. Y'all know Haas is always going to break shit down in a dope way. And I co-taught the class. And like I said, I was kind of showing how to consciously move through this media company, this media world that we all play a part of, and how to use your chakra energy centers to kind of help you decide which opportunities you should take and be a part of, who to work with, kind of like using your body's wisdom to help you make decisions as you kind of navigate these snaky waters. So it was a great conversation. Super real, super transparent, super woo-woo. My favorite corner of the internet. And
and not no gang shit. She talking about, you know. Right. I know y'all like to tussle.
How
she ain't
we
talking
do.
About that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little both. No, I'm kidding. But we had a lot of fun. And thank you to everyone who pulled up. It was like over 300 people in the class, which is really cool for Haas's school. So thank you spending your Sunday morning with me. Yes. I guess that's it for the thank yous. You guys have anything you want to talk about? Because I know what I want to talk about before we start.
I do actually. Today, by the time you guys hear this, it'll already have happened. So I guess I should say thank you to everybody who tuned in to the live that I did with GLAAD. I'm actually doing it later today.
Oh, I want to be there.
Come on, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To kick off Black History Month, GLAAD invited me to be a part of a chat with Kyle Price, friend of mine, very, very talented host.
Hi, Kyle.
Yeah, y'all know Kyle.
Definitely.
So we're just going to go kick it on GLAAD's Instagram Live, and I'm really grateful for that. You know, I love to be visible, black, and a little, you know. So it's perfect. Like, it works out. So I'm excited about that.
Well,
we'll
be there. Congratulations, brother. That's awesome.
Yay. Thank you.
Glad you're with GLAAD.
Right. So I wanted to tell you guys that I have been driving.
Ooh.
Rain is literally in the streets now.
Okay. I was telling the guys earlier, holla at a player when you see me in the street. I got my first car ever.
And it's a nice one. Y'all, I ain't going to tell y'all what it is, but just know it's she riding.
Okay. Because a Taurus going Taurus. And my mom was making fun of me because she was like, you don't even know how to drive, and this is your first car. She's like, people build up to that. I'm like, it's cool. I am me, and yep, I trust myself.
Okay,
what
good,
did Crystal
friend.
Tell me? Crystal was like, your whole life is a big spender, so, you know. She's like, I ain't surprised. Okay. But honestly, it's a beautiful car. I'm really proud, and I'm excited because, like I said, I've never had a car. I've never driven. Mm-hmm. I had my license because it was part of like the high school, you know, prerequisite to graduate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to graduate. So that's cool because I didn't have to worry about that part. But I never really got a chance to like refine my driving and really, really be a driver. So this
and practice,
is
essentially, yeah.
Practice, kind of just even feeling comfortable with having a car. It's like kind of it was a big boy purchase, and I have so much anxiety because you feel like such a little kid, even though I'm 30 fucking nine. But I was like, oh my God, you know, is this good to
Am
do
I
this
being
in
wise,
this economy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're in an economy that's tricky right now, and even how cars are marked up right now because of the port issue. So everything is like 15 to 20K higher, like the MSRP. So I was even concerned about that. Like, should I wait? Should I wait another year? But then I was like, what if it gets worse? It's just a lot going on. But I couldn't stop myself. It's a skill set that I need to have because I don't have the 2 and 3 train to jump on no more. Like,
seriously.
There's no bus route over here. You know, like, everything is just a little farther away from each other. So I was like, it's time to pull up my panties and and get this shit done.
And then sit him on some of that good leather you sitting on. Okay. In that car. I ain't trying to offend no PETA people, but goddamn, there's some nice seats in that car, Fred. Because I went on the website. I was like, well, let me just go look at these. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this is nice. I'm telling you.
I mean, and you know me, I customized everything.
Ooh, of course you did. Of course you did.
Customized the wood grain, customized the lighting inside, the exterior light and the LED. I mean, everything.
That motherfucker nice.
It is now, really, and it's a blacked out. They call it murdered out, which is so funny to hear the girl be child, like, yeah, you got the murdered out car.
You getting pulled over, friend. I can't ride with you, friend, because you know what I'm going to be doing in your
car. It's very hood. It's very, Jesse had me dead. Shout out to Jesse Boykins. He was like, only you would hood out that car. Like, you see it drive by and it looked like a hood ass car. The rims, it got 22 inch rims.
Sounds like good taste to me.
Listen, I'm ready to go to the hood now, friend. I know you're learning like your driving skills and stuff right now. Who is responsible for teaching you like the Negro driving skills? Like, I know they're teaching you hand over hand. Oh, you know what? You're in good hands. I just thought about that.
Exactly.
You're good to go. All right. Yeah, I want to teach you how to turn the whole steering wheel with just these two fingers. You know, I want to teach you that. I also want to teach you how to back in using the base of your palm. I want to teach you that, friend. You know what I'm saying? I'll teach you how to drive with your seat in the back seat, but you still somehow in the front. I want to teach you how to do those things. So you let me know, friend, because I got
you. That'd be so damn funny. That actually would be a really funny skit. But I, because I'm only a week in, I have still not graduated to being able to play music yet.
Okay.
Still very, very quiet. I need to focus. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, because, you know, people be getting hit. I'm just going to tell you, friend, like, it's very easy to get hit by a car.
Yeah, and not only that, like, you're learning how to drive yourself, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to drive and been driving and ain't trying to fix that they don't know how to drive.
Talk
you
got
to be
it.
So mindful
she
of their
about
asses.
Old people, y'all.
Did y'all see the video that went viral of the dude shooting through his own car?
Yes, I did. And what kind of man? I said, this nigga is a maniac. God. He's literally a psycho because he was not flinching or nothing like in
that
car.
You didn't see it, Asante?
No.
He cut someone off in the highway. Mm-hmm. And I guess the person was, obviously, the person was behind him honking like, what the fuck? And then started riding his car or whatever in the back. So he kind of got shook after he did it. And apparently the person came around and lowered their window. And his reflex was to think that they were doing that to shoot him. So he took out his gun. So he took out his gun, and as soon as that car passed, he starts shooting at it, but his window's still closed.
Yeah.
So he's just shooting through his own car. He shot through his own windshield because the car passed, obviously. And he shot like 11 shots or something crazy just because he thought.
With a straight face. That's why I don't buy none of that shit that his story is. You know what I'm saying? Because that didn't look like nobody that was in fear of anything. Because
he was so like...
He looked like he was playing gay video games. Right, like he had an Oculus on. That's how he looked. Like he was like...
Shit.
You gotta look at it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm gonna check
it. And it was his own dash cam video that he sent in.
Low key, that shit was terrifying. I didn't see niggas shoot motherfuckers before.
It was.
But like that was some that wasn't no disagreement in the hood and you heard a pop. That was literally like warfare and with zero fucks given. His face was so just calm and serene while he was shooting.
I did not need to see that shit. I was like, of course I saw it this week. Let me tell you something. Go ahead and cut me off. Go ahead and cut me off.
You can go, y'all. Y'all got it.
I'll be like, new month, new blessings.
Yeah. Get out the window. I'm sorry.
You listen, be blessed.
In Atlanta, people don't know how to drive, whether it be people from there or all the transplants that move there. So I've learned a long time ago not to mess with people, and I haven't driven in a long time anyway. But on Twitter, like maybe a few months back, I don't know if y'all remember that video of like these people messing with this dude in traffic. Like his trunk was like held together by like a little string. It was so messed up in the back.
And the people were like taking a video of it, and they like got out the car and like cut the string, and it opened up, and he came and got out the car and was like, what? He was like, why y'all, like, what y'all doing messing with me? And I was just like, I would not mess with that man. And
first
like
of Twitter all, was that's roasting bullying. Him. What the yeah, fuck that's is you talking weird about?
Too, it
was
like,
the thread was so interesting because Twitter was like roasting him, and then they started roasting the people for roasting him. They were like, why would anybody be fucking with this man? His car's fucked up. He could right. be on his last leg. He could pull a gun out on these people, and yeah. y'all are sitting behind him. Like, what do y'all think?
That
like,
ain't funny.
Like, there were so many things wrong with it, and I was like, I cannot believe Twitter is actually doing this. Like, okay, Twitter, like, it was a day, but
road
it's
rage.
So funny you should say that. Mm-mm. More on that when we get to the hot button. Go ahead.
Ooh, okay, so we have a perfect segue here, but I just want to say that road rage is very scary.
Yes.
And I have seen it because Maya and Jade are two of the most raging roadsters I have ever seen, and it's scary because you never know what's going to happen when you're in a car with those two.
So Maya be getting it in.
My God. And she's so tiny. So it's like, girl, if you get out this car to fight, they're going to laugh at you. You are 5 feet tall, 10 pounds. And she be getting pissed, like ready to drive her car into I'm like, okay.
Jade apologizes immediately after, right? Have y'all noticed? So this is what Jade will do.
Like, maybe to, car with to Jade, you for making you feel scared.
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, so you okay, be, you be in a car with driver.
Hell no, she be wishing death on it. Like, okay, so like, you be in a car with Jade, she'll go have the moment. That's what we'll say. Well, she'll have the moment with another motorist. And then I don't know if it'd be like the look on my face or maybe me bracing myself and holding on to a handle in the car or something, but she always turns around and be like, I'm sorry. Like, I know you. I'm sorry. And then she go right back to cussing somebody out.
Yeah, like, I've seen her. She's been in the car. She's thrown brushes.
Bottles.
She has thrown bottles of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, mango. You, whatever everything she can get her hands on. It is insane, but I'm thankful that, you know, it's never escalated past throwing stuff, except for when she kicked that kid's bike and broke her foot.
I remember that.
When she said she kicked it, she said, as soon as I kicked it, my soul left my body because my foot broke. And she said she had to suck it up and just walk back like it didn't hurt. And she said the kid was like, I know you hurt. She was like, fuck you.
Jade.
That goddamn Jade. That goddamn Jade. Oh. I'm telling you. It
one
never
of the funniest
stopped
people on earth. But naturally. You know, pray for me. Send me all the coverings, all the blood of Jesus while I'm driving.
Send her those and send her air fresheners too. Fran needs air fresheners in her car. She needs black eyes.
I will. Yeah.
Tree shaped air fresheners for her car.
Get to understand the value of black ice now.
Could
and
you
if you
imagine
see one of them crown air fresheners that people used to put in the back window, get her a couple of them too. She needs four because she got a bigger car. So she
a
needs
bigger
four
car. But I'm very excited. I gave myself this year to become a solid driver. You know, like, I just want to be reliable. I want to be able to do what I got to do. I want to be able to, when we go on trips for whatever, whether it's work or pleasure, that I can, like, rent a car and drive comfortably if it's in another country. Like, I've always admired people like that. They'll go to another country, rent a car, and just be whipping.
I can't do it in another country now. You know, having to do that, the opposite
that
side. Sometimes I'll be like,
I know.
Y'all switching sides of the street, too? Oh, hell
that
no.
That is
like,
kind of crazy, yeah.
And then them roads don't be, some of them roads, some in some parts of the world, right, the roads don't be, you know, having like lines in them and shit. And I know.
And no lights. And no lights. Yeah.
No rules, really. It's been times where I've been on vacation and been like, okay, are we even going to make it to the hotel? Like, what the hell is going on around here?
Shout
I've been
out to
scared
my
for
people
my life
in the Caribbean. They're the best drivers.
Oh, my
drivers.
God.
No lights, no lines, no rules, no nothing.
They be in and in out there.
And somehow nobody hits each other. They just they'll always just poosh, whiz right by each other, and everybody just somehow makes it work. It's
even when meanwhile, we looking like
They be trucks stopped in the middle of the street and they just automatically go all around. I'm like, why they know somebody want on the other side? And then someone does immediately come past. I'm like, was they just waiting, thinking someone was going to come? That was crazy. Like,
and then that ride is always like an hour and a half long. So I'll be
always on PG News.
I just try to go to sleep. Because I'll be so damn nervous, you know? And I'm one thing, y'all, if anybody's ever been to Tulum, you know that that ride from the airport to Tulum is like an hour and 30, hour and 45 minutes. They drive, I swear to God, I looked at the odometer on the car, the speedometer on the car, rather. That motherfucker was doing 100 miles an hour, okay? Literally down that fucking highway. And I'm like, are you even, it is a long straightaway, so it makes sense to just get it over with. But like, the police, you know, so like, you don't even, like, y'all don't even be thinking about maybe an accident. Because
the police be driving at 100 too. They'd be like, it's all good. Different rules.
Got somewhere to be.
As drivers, do you guys have any tips for me as a new driver? Anything that I should know?
Look as far down the road as you can while you're driving, while also, of course, being aware of the things immediately, but look as far down the road as you can while you're driving so you can anticipate stuff ahead of time.
Okay.
Don't speed. You know what I'm saying? Well, just take your time. Take your time. And just be careful. That's it. That's all you got to do. And relax. Okay. Like, don't overthink it. Just do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to send y'all pictures.
Yes.
And little videos of me driving.
I want to see you in like parking lots, blasting Music Friend and doing donuts down the road. Like, I mean, not right now, you know what I'm saying? But like down the road,
Give me a year.
Yeah.
How long did it take y'all to be solid drivers where y'all felt like I can drive, like drive?
My brother taught me how to drive when I was 12 years old. Literally.
Oh, shit.
So by the time I was like 14, God, I hope my mom and them ain't listen. So I'm not going to say that. I'm not gonna say that, but just know, like, I could drive Miss Daisy by the time I was 14 years old.
That is so dope.
Dale Earnhardt over here.
Junior year of high school, I knew I had it. Like, whipping it, flying down. But you gotta remember the South, the roads in certain areas were bigger, highways, nothing but lanes. So I'm talking like flying down the highways, lane switching, blinker flipping, blinker clicking, like all of that. Like, everything junior year of high school, I had all of that. So when it was like freshman, sophomore year of college, I was doing all the wrong things. And that's when I had the seat sitting all the way back. And, you know, I was really only one-handed driving for the most part.
Absolutely. Backing into the parking spaces, all that shit.
Oh, yeah, that back end.
Ooh.
Immaculate.
I will never forget when I was in the eighth grade. I'm not going to say the girl's name, but this girl drove to school when I was in the eighth grade. And we had like a half day. And her mother worked third shift, so she would sleep during the day. And this girl drove to school in the eighth grade. My middle school was housed in the same building as like a high school. So it was like grade 7 all the way to 12 in the same building. So there was a parking lot for students or whatever. So, you know, she could like blend in. But it had never crossed my mind to like drive without permission until she did that. And once she did, like everything, it changed everything. Like,
we did the same. My friend, who I won't say her name either, her mom was a nurse and worked the night shift. So she had a champagne colored Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah.
We were in ninth grade and we would drive. She lived in the Bronx. Okay. Yeah. We would go to her house in the Bronx and get in the Jeep. We were all in ninth grade. Obviously no one had a license. And we would drive at night to Copacabana, go dance. Get back in the car. She'd drop everyone home, and that was like our weekend thing in ninth grade. Hey, mom, I don't know if you knew that, but you do now.
Listen.
Now, and when them police would be behind us, baby.
Yeah.
Fear.
But see, I didn't care because I'm telling you, my brother Damon had literally taught me how to drive. Do you hear me? Like, I could, like, go.
Right. So you could, like, yeah.
So once I figured out that that was a thing people were doing, I couldn't wait. We had went out of town. I don't give a fuck. I'm grown. I'll tell it now. We had went out of town. And when we came, we went to Niagara Falls. I'll never forget this. And when we came back that Sunday, my mom and them was gone somewhere like 2 hours away or some shit. And my mama had just got a brand new GMC SUV. It was like dark green with tan leather seats. Dope. Me and my cousin Andre, who was my partner in crime, we took the car and drove around the neighborhood blasting TRU. The No Limit Soldiers and all that.
Wow.
We literally drove around the neighborhood blowing a horn, tolling all our friends and shit. And that's how we started taking the car. Now Andre got caught, but I didn't.
Y'all are bold. Wait, yeah. Asante, what were you saying? You did this too? Oh Lord.
Yes. And I'm not gonna give away too many details. The only detail I'm gonna give, and this is gonna my mom, she gonna know this, but nobody else gonna know. She had a Buick LeSabre, a long, wide body ass Buick, and I used to take that thing out.
And you was whipping that long body, big body Buick. That's the driver.
I can't tell you when I was whipping it, but I should not have been whipping it. But you know what's so funny? Thinking about Abbott Elementary, when the principal, when she said she had caught the deaconess and the superintendent, I had caught somebody when I wasn't supposed to be driving, and they seen me driving.
Ooh.
And they was like raising hell. They was like, "What the hell are you doing out here driving?" I was like, "Who's that?" And it was like,
okay, for real. Like, so
mind you, I didn't know what was going on for real. I just was like, "Who's that?" Because I was like, "Why are you going off of me in front of like who that is?" Mm-hmm. Like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, "You drove here by yourself? That's impressive. You need to get back to where you was." And I drove for like an hour more before I finally took the car back. I was like, "That's crazy!" Like,
oh, wow. Y'all bold. I don't think I could have done that with my mom's car. She would have been "Bitch."
I can't tell you what else I did. I don't want to give nobody tips on how to be bad, but when I got home, I had to change some things to try to make it look like I didn't drive. Because
you used to be able to.
Nowadays.
But see, once you started leasing cars, once people really started leasing vehicles, all that went out the window. But because
why?
People started being more mindful of the mileage on their car.
Because you can only drive and say,
shit. So before that, like, their parents really didn't pay attention beyond what was normal to, like, odometers. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. Make sure it ended zero. Yeah. Make sure it ain't no funny looking numbers where they ain't supposed
to. I ain't even gonna throw none of my friends or cousins under the bus, but I wasn't the only person that was, you know what I'm saying, taking the car. I just want to say that. Jasmine. No, anyway.
Oh, you know what? My car has a super cute, it has a virtual speedometer that's on the windshield. So while I'm driving, it's right on my eye line. Yeah, and it tells you the current speed limit and where you're at. So you can just like mindfully switch as you need to, and which I think faster. Is really, really dope. Yeah, right. Listen, I'm at the point where 25, 30 is edgy for me, okay?
You might as well be back right in New York at that.
Right, you there right now. Eventually, Fran gonna have the heaviest foot out of all of us in the group. Flying in that car.
She gonna be in the car with Jay cursing and Haas cussing people out. Like, what are they doing? I can't believe that. Like, no, you gotta pull up on them. Like, oh my God, Fran, no, we gotta go.
She gonna have custom license plate to say Palo Santo and shit.
Yo, I was just saying, oh my God, you read my mind because I was really mad that I didn't know you could get a custom plate.
Oh, personalized
like that.
Plate.
Personalized plates. Yeah.
I'm so mad. I would have had
you
to say
can.
Ease.
I mean, you got to pay for some stuff, but you still can.
But if you already put in for your plate, you can go back and change it?
Yeah, you can go back and change that at any time. If you decide you want personalized plates, you can go get one. Yes.
Well, then I'm going to do that because I had a cute, you know, plate, but it was just like of like wine country, of course. It has like the sunrise and a vineyard, and which is super pretty, of course, very me. But then my partner was like, you should have gotten the word ease on it or 1111 or like a number that like, you know, an angel number that resonates with you. And I was like, oh, my God, why did I do that?
I think you should get Big Friend. I think that's what you should get on the motherfucking on the plate. Yeah, Big Friend. That's hard, Friend. Like, that's so dope, Friend. Get Big Friend on your shit. That's dope, Friend.
Hell no. That's too hot. That's too hot.
Big Friend. I think that's what
you're going to be. Our supporters going to be like, burr, burr, on the highway. No, but I just wanted to say that I thought it was super cute that I'm driving, and I want y'all to pray for me to get better and comfortable out there. Next week, I jump on the highway, so pray for the kid.
Yes,
you guys, pray for the kid. Hashtag
if you see Fran out,
Do not honk.
Just mind your business because you do not want her swerving, trying to be polite while trying to control the vehicle.
Do not wave at me because I can't wave back. Not yet.
So. Okay, she's gonna be like, oh shit, and then like maybe like, and then keep going like. You know, I got to keep my eyes forward, girl.
My neighbor yesterday was waving while I was pulling out of the driveway, and I was looking at him like, too much going on, too much going on. I'm reversing. I'm trying to see who's back there. You waving. Like, go to I know he was like, well, she's bitchy today. Just drove past him.
It's either drive past you or drive on your lawn. Which one?
Or you kill you. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. You pick. I pick you the pick. Best.
Right. Get you Drake pull up on you. Literally. Don't go ghost. Lord. I'm going to have to pull up on you.
Okay. All right. So let's jump into this week's Black Business. there is a licensed holistic nutritionist that I follow. She's also a fitness trainer. She's super dope. A beautiful young Black woman from Brooklyn named Ariel Simone. She goes by Le Ariel Simone. That's LeArielleSimone. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And then if you want to go on her website, it's arielsimone.co. So she is she's a licensed holistic nutritionist, and she recently dropped a wellness planner that I absolutely love. It's to help us make every day a little more intentional. You know, I love that. Because planners usually just have like the calendar or the lines for you to write your day out. But I really like people that have the more intentional planners that have like activities, writing prompts. Hers actually has 12 wellness activities, 52 wellness challenges. So clearly you're getting one weekly, quarterly accountability check-ins and assessments, sections where you can write letters to yourself. Weekly check-ins, this is my favorite part, for water, movement, and sleep, as well as a guide to eating more plant-based and even how to store your produce if you're going to be like meal prepping or just trying to change up your grocery shopping to be, you know, a little bit more mindful of your health. Let me show you guys. Look how cute she is.
I'm all over your friend.
Right? And then the planner, let me show you guys this planner, though. Hold on. I'm trying to pull up her store. You're on the site, Asante. I love it because you just be like, click, click, click.
She like, you know, gut check, a holistic guide to healing your gut, like plant-based starter packs. I'm loving the colors. Deconstruct your cravings. Dieting is a dub. Like the readings here.
That's the cool part, too. She has a blog. So if you, it's kind of nice to have like a young Black woman that is licensed, you know, but also super chill, super cool, and she has a really dope way of explaining everything, breaking things down, especially for flavor. You know, most nutritionists and health and plant-based people, they'll sacrifice flavor for health, which a lot of us,
well, that's crazy, yo,
culturally are not fans of. He said that's crazy, yo. But I fucks with her because she will not. Like, she's like, we could eat healthy but still eat in a way that is sustainable. Like, that'll make you want to continue this. So,
thank you.
Outside of her living planner, which for those of you watching, look how cute it is. Really, really very well cute. Super cute, super well designed and organized. But like Asante was saying, she also can coach you if you need some wellness planning. Let me see. I'm trying to see all the things that she has to offer. You have it on your thing, Asante?
Yeah, she does 1 month nutrition programs. You can do 3 month, or you could just do a monthly if you want. In full, a la carte classes, manifestation workbook, and it's titled Dreamed It, Then Real Life Did. Ooh.
Right?
The menu, food shopping made easier, which is just instant buy for most people because once you just know what to buy and just, and it,
you could take it,
tells
it from
you everything
there.
Right there.
And she has a kitchen makeover. And you see how I love how she designed everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to your point, friend, I like how it's all about food, but the colors and the way she has it, it's like food for your eyes. It's a feast for your vision. Like,
really, really well done. And she also has a gut check, which is a holistic guide to healing your gut, which we've talked about on this show. You know, we've talked about about why I drink kombucha, even the pre and probiotics, just the bacteria that your gut really needs to like make sure it's a healthy environment in there. So she has a checklist to help you make sure you're eating things that are actually really helpful for your gut health, and kind of give you an idea of the things you might be eating that might be disrupting your gut health as well. Remember, gut health affects your mental health, your energy, your mood. So it's something to really take into account when you're eating every day. So just check her out, ArielSimone.co. Once again, ArielSimone.co. Show her some love. Check out the planner. I definitely think it would be nice to have that. I'm getting me one of these planners.
I just want the gold pen.
Me too. Yeah, it comes with a cute box to store it in. Mm-hmm. It comes with a gold pen so you can write your prompts and your check-ins. Just really well thought out.
Oh, I love this word of the year prompt. Choose a word that you want to focus on, that you need more of, that can be your compass for the year. Get real intentional with it.
I know that's just the word I'm a pig.
That's just one of the many things that Ariel has to offer. Shout out to my friend and shout out to Ariel Simone for doing all of this intentional work.
I know just what I would pick.
ArielSimone.co, ArielSimone.co. Friend, thank you for that black business.
Yes, thank you, Asante. Thank you, Ariel Simone. So let's jump into the recap segment, shall we? Last week's episode titled, Do You Say Homage or Homage? We had our inner kids took over the hot button segment as we discussed the many layers of Disney's Encanto, as well as we touched very lightly on the conversation of gentle parenting, which I will be following up because I think that we touched lightly on it because it wasn't something I was like planning on talking about. So we didn't really have too many layers in that direction. But I like that we went in that direction. It felt very natural. And so I'm going to continue that on and have a positive discipline educator. Like, this is literally her job. She's also a mother of two, and this is what she does for a living. She's certified, and she's going to come on the show next month and talk to us about gentle parenting, which I think is a really great conversation. We have a lot of parents that follow us, a lot of
and I want to talk about getting whoopings.
And we should talk about how everyone feels about it. Yeah,
I can't wait. When I tell you I'm calling my parents' house and going the fuck off after that episode, I can't wait. Bring her on. What's she doing right now? She can't come on today? I can't wait to talk to your friend.
It's going to be so awesome. Remember, I was telling you, I follow a lot of really dope moms that are changing the landscape, changing the conversation online. She, to me, is the one that has spearheaded this conversation, at least from my perspective, because she's the one I've seen discuss it more and gain a lot of traction for it. So can't wait to have her on. It's going to be an awesome conversation. She goes by Supernova Mama. Her name is Natasha, and she'll be here this month. We're already in February, so in a couple of weeks. But like I said, we talked about Encanto and a couple other things, and those of you listening had a lot to say. So who stood out? You see that the Bruno song made number one on Billboard?
Number one, and the album. The song is number one, and the album itself is number one in the country right now.
There's some cuts on that. Mind-blowing.
And that's what the homosexuals call slaying. That's what that is.
And they're saying that they didn't submit for an Oscar. How regretful are they for that? How regretful are they for that? That would have been legendary. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. They're on Billboard's top 100, and that's quite the feat because it's a freaking Disney song. So
we don't talk about Bruno. That's the shit. As soon as I heard that in that movie, I was like...
as soon as it came on.
Disney reminded us that they used to keep us with the bops and the jams. They were like, we can still do that. I still remember back in the day with, you know, I'm Not Jasmine, I Am Aladdin. A Whole New World, you know what I'm saying?
Peebo Bryson. You know Disney said that. Don't make me call Peebo. Okay, that's what Disney said. They got that hit. There you go.
So now they back. They back to tell y'all we do again 2022. I don't even know why they went to Smith for the Oscars though. That's crazy.
That's, I mean, I don't know the reason, but they didn't and they're missing out. But with that being said, Asante, who stood out to you in the comments?
Well, with that being said, Ariane stood out to me in the comments because she said, I love cartoons. And Ariane's in the comments on them SoundCloud streets, just in case you're looking
that
for
that. That was my comment, but it's okay. I got another one on Patreon. Oh, see,
I'm so sorry, friend.
You know, I always do that.
I know, and you know, usually I'm trying to be like, oh, maybe, but I thought she was going to be a Patreon, but see, I'm glad you had a backup, so I'm sorry.
I did.
She says, I love cartoons. I'm 32 and watch cartoons all day, every day. My favorite is the Looney Tunes show, and I wish Total Drama was still coming on, because that's my second fave. I'm extremely excited for the new Proud Family episodes. First of all, I didn't know what Total Drama was, but then when I went and looked it up, I was like, I think I do vaguely remember this show. Do y'all remember a cartoon called Total Drama?
Ain't that about the women wrestlers?
No.
What show is that I'm thinking about?
Is it called
Total Something about women wrestlers? I know. Wrestlers. I was like, is it? It came on E. I'm not just making this shit up.
Women
is
wrestlers. It,
are they
no
total
idea.
Divas?
Total, because, you know, total Divas. Total Divas. That's what it was. Total Divas. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The ones Nene was arguing with that time. Remember, Asante? Yeah.
Wow, this is just
yeah,
like,
well, that's what I thought the cartoon
this
was.
Is crazy. Yeah. But yes, they are bringing up they are bringing back new episodes of Proud Family, so I'm actually excited for that too. So that's why I chose Ariane's comment, because I used to watch Proud Family back in the day, and I still find it entertaining when I see it every now and then. So the fact that they're making a new one, I'm here for it. I'll be there. And it's not a cartoon, but I checked out that girl Lele's show on Netflix, and it is so cute. So shout out to that girl Lele again.
I saw it trending. It was trending top 10. I was like, look at Lele. That's so bomb.
She got renewed. They got renewed for a second season too on her birthday. She just turned 15. Lele just turned 15. So happy birthday to Lele. We love her. We love her.
Yes.
Shout out to Lele. We've been rocking with Lele since the Car Freestyles. Y'all know we used to play her on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, you know her people. Like, so,
yep, her
so shout out to Lele. Yep.
That's so dope. That's
season
so dope.
Two on them hoes. I love it. Go ahead, Lele.
A lot of
we got a new black young superstar. I love to see it.
That's right. Oh, ain't that amazing? All right, shout out to you. What did you find out there in them streets, friend?
So let me pull up my screenshot. Okay, so Emmy on the Patreon streets, or rather our gated community, said, to Asante's point about kids becoming immune to certain types of discipline, when my partner was a child, he used to get whooped a lot. To the point that at one time he started laughing at his dad while he was whooping him. Now, whether you're for or against spanking is a whole other conversation, but this is just an example of how sometimes expected or even cultural forms of discipline are ineffective and potentially emotionally damaging. And I think that parents have an obligation to consider the long-term effects of their styles of discipline more than just the classic, well, it kept you out of jail, didn't it?
Speaking of staying out of jail, yes, that's a great story, and I agree with that point. But, honey, you got to recognize them red flags when you see them. And if you laying up with a motherfucker that laughed in the face of a leather ass thrashing, okay? We seen how many times they have to beat Kunta Kinte to get him to say Toby. It took the whole damn miniseries, 8 episodes. And that motherfucker, it broke. He fine, Toby. You know what I'm saying? So for this motherfucker to laugh in the face of that, and you think this is cute, like you might want to consider nursing school.
Okay,
go ahead. And that's like Hillary Duff with love.
Emmy, thank you for
with love.
And like I said, we have a gentle parenting educator that will come on here to set us all straight, because God knows
for
our
real.
Heart.
And set some of us free, okay? If you know
Dustin.
What you, girl, you better get away with it. Motherfucker crazy. Okay.
This dude, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
Okay. Shout out to @ YEDROPYANDHI. Now, I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean, but I wanted to spell it correctly, okay? But they tweeted, Burger King is doing what? And they added a sign. It looks like they're at a German Burger King. And then for those of you who are on the Patreon and Fran and Asante, you can see in that window, it looks like it says Burger King is doing what?
It's written in German, so it's W-I-R, which sounds like
weird. I can only see
the burger loading.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, why can't I see your whole
thing? Hold on. Right, sorry.
Tell me when you can see it.
Right, Burger King. Wait. Right there.
Yeah, right there. Right. Move it closer.
Burger King.
Oh, yeah, in German.
It's... We're sucking.
Oh!
It looks like it's written in German. The first word is W-I-R. Second word is S-U-C-H-E-N. Third word is D-I-C-H. So that's what's going on at Burger King. I guess you really can't have it your way. Also, I want to give a shout out to Holly Berry, who tweeted, "I've had to fight my entire career, and my hope is that the fight for the Zendayas, the Keke Palmers, the Tessa Thompsons, the Marseille Martins will be indelibly easier." So that's attached to a special that she's doing where she's telling her story as an actress. Shout out to Holly Berry for being a real one, okay? And that's really it. There's a lot of other songs, a lot of other tweets and stuff I found, but we've been spending so much time on the top half of this show, we could just keep this thing moving.
All the talking. All right, so Dustin, you are taking over this week's hot button, so let us know what we're getting into. We're going in cold.
Yeah,
we have no idea.
We're going cold and coming in hot. Okay, this week, the Twitter streets were in a firestorm, and in some moments, a shitstorm even, over a tweet that was actually a screenshot from a Facebook post from a young lady, okay, who worked in talent acquisition for major corporations.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, and so this tweet literally made the rounds, had a lot of people, you know, justifiably upset and feeling some kind of way about it. So I just want to discuss it and then discuss a couple of the elements and a couple of the things that are connected to this tweet and the story of this tweet that make it worthy of our conversation. Because, yes, we were having fun reminding the author of this tweet how, you know, of the air of her ways, per se. That was a good time had by all, right? But there's a much bigger conversation connected to this that made her words and her tweet and her actions that she described in the tweet so harmful. So we'll get a little bit deeper into that. But first, let's talk about the tweet. So,
yeah,
there was a Twitter account. The handle is at just tech charge. J-S-T. No, you. It's J-S-T-T-E-C-H charge. Okay. She tweeted, and this person is a tech recruiter. They tweeted, "Always negotiate your salary," with the worried face, not the smile, but the crooked mouth face or whatever that looks like it's worried, with that emoji. And she quoted a picture of a Facebook post from another young lady. Right now, I'm not going to say, even though the young lady made this post publicly and made it underneath her own name, I'm still not going to put her name out there on this show. If you find her name, that's
right.
But I don't want to. I'm already, not encouraging. Yeah,
she already got shit on, and she lost her job. So
she did.
Oh. Yeah,
I didn't know she lost her job. Well, and honestly, she should have though, because she wasn't doing a good job at it. I don't like that she lost it at the hands of this. But that's, as we talk about it more, it'll make sense. But I don't want to. I'm by no means discussing this on the show to encourage people to harass her or reach out to her or anything like that. So I just want to be clear about that. And I'm also not going to give her name. But the post that she made says, "I just offered a candidate $85,000 for a job that had a budget of $130,000. All right. I offered her that because that's what she asked for. And personally, I don't have the bandwidth to give lessons on salary negotiation. Here's the lesson. Always ask for the salary you want, in parentheses, deserve, no matter how large you think it might be. You never know how much money a company has to work with." So this makes its way around the internet. Now, immediately when I read that, I legit got mad, y'all. I got fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
Because for several reasons, right? Number one, so before I even get started, let me just ask you both, because I know you both were familiar with this and I know y'all like to tussle. What? how did you guys feel when you saw it? How did you see the tweet? Was it, who was talking about it? And how did you feel? What were your thoughts when you saw that shit?
I didn't see the tweet.
Oh, you didn't see that, Asante?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my bad. I misunderstood. I thought you said you did a few minutes ago. Well, now you know.
No, that was me. Yeah. Okay. I saw it. I don't even know who posted it. Well, you know how Twitter is. It'll be like someone retweeted it.
Everybody retweeting it.
Yeah, and it was a screenshot of a LinkedIn post. Mm-hmm. And apparently people who are on LinkedIn and like just part of the recruiter field and just in that like job search world said that this is very common, that people share these kind of like stories and anecdotes, and a lot of them tend to be made up or not. Because that's the people were like, yo, if she made that up, that would suck that she lost her job trying to create the story to teach some kind of, you know, quote unquote lesson and ended up losing her whole job for it. But
yeah,
when I saw it, of course, it made me feel terrible because we know that a lot of us are underpaid as it is, as Black people, yeah, especially as Black women. We don't always know our value because we've been underpaid. There's always been that wage gap. And so for her to have the opportunity to change the trajectory of someone's pay scale and not do it just felt really shitty. Mm-hmm. And for her to kind of be sharing that story, I kind of don't understand what she was hoping to get accomplished with that story. Like, what is, that's the part that kind of lost me. Like, does she think people are going to be like, good job? Like, right, I don't like, know.
Fuck that lady. No, they're not. Yeah, at a time like, when... we're going to discuss more specifics about the actual numbers and what's really going on with like Black women and the pay gap and inequalities and things like that in corporate America. But let's just stick on her post for just a couple more minutes, right? Mm-hmm. What was the intention behind her sharing that? For her to even say, and if you read the way that it's written, she says, I offered her that because that's what she asked for. And personally, I don't have the bandwidth to give lessons on salary negotiation. See, that is the section of the post that I really take issue with because it creates...
The bandwidth part.
Her, the tone, her disposition, yeah, and all of that. So I looked her up because the lady had like a website and different ways. She works in tech recruiting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she has a website devoted to... I'm going to actually read to you the copy that was on her website because I just found it odd. She says that she's a talent acquisition consultant, an entrepreneur, and a social media marketing consultant.
Wow.
Who shared that post on social media. Now, then she says...
The way that the internet will fucking...
She says, without God, I am nothing. I'm an all-around entrepreneur that loves God and has a passion for helping dynamic professionals create a life that they love. Then she says, I use my professional experiences and transparency to remind others that we are fully capable. Transparency. So I bring all that up because that's what you're presenting yourself up. That's what you're presenting yourself as on your website, the place that people go to, you know, learn more about what you represent in those spaces that you occupy. Yet you're sharing a post that you wrote that completely contradicts all of that, right? And then go on to go even deeper by saying you didn't have the bandwidth to give a lesson on salary negotiation. What are you talking about? You live in Atlanta. You're Black. I guarantee you the candidate for that job was a Black woman. I guarantee you it was.
No question.
In fucking Atlanta... And your Black ass, you're taking this position with this approach. Now, those are her personal issues that are contradictory for me. But let's dive into like why this is so harmful in general and what the landscape is like professionally for Black women now. I did a little research and I looked up just to see, like I said, what some of the statistics were. And according to the National Women's Law Center, right? Today, it takes longer for Black workers, not just women, workers to find jobs. And when they do, obviously, they're paid less than their white peers. The pay gap is especially stark for Black women who not face not only race discrimination, but also sex discrimination. Okay. Mm-hmm. Among full-time year-round workers, Black women make 63 cents for every dollar paid to white non-Hispanic men.
Wow.
This disparity, and this is according to the National Women's Law Center, right? This disparity has only closed by 3 cents over the last 30 years.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Which means that Black women are not projected to reach equal pay until the year 2130. We in 2022. 108 years from now, lady. Okay, while you putting that shit out, let's go deeper.
The wage gap adds up to a typical loss of $24,000 plus per year and a staggering loss of over $964,400 over a 40-year career, which is a typical working career of a person. That's damn near $1 million while you're talking shit about not having the bandwidth to give a lesson on salary negotiation. How many seconds would it have taken you to say, you know what, ma'am? That's a very humble ask. You know what I'm saying? A humble salary request. Here's the budget we have allotted according to your skill set. I believe you deserve this. Let's not even talk about the fact that once she recognizes what the market rate is, she's going to leave the job. So if your job is to recruit and retain, you're failing already. Right. She's going to go when she finds out she's being grossly underpaid. But all of this is because you, who claims to love God and all this other stuff and have a passion for helping, and you show went to your photo shoot, you know, in your flowered skirt and striped top and the hat, and you had the whole look and did the pictures laughing. All that stuff that they do to create the look or the facade of being this person who's really tapped in to helping people and cultivating people emotionally and spiritually. Okay, and offering employment, but this is what you do. You make a public post making light of a really shitty thing that you did to somebody in a time where the situation is pretty bleak for black women. Let's go further with the statistics, shall we? Let's talk about unemployment, right? That's what we just talked about, was even if you got a damn job. Mm-hmm. Let's take it a step further and talk about unemployment. According to a June 2021 report, so this is June of last year, called It's Time to Pay Black Women What They're Owed, written by Jasmine Tucker. She said that black women's unemployment rate was 8.5% in June of 2021, but black women are still in a crisis. June's 2021 rate means that more than 1 in 12 black women were unemployed last month, compared to about 1 in 19 white men. June was still 1.7 times more. The unemployment rate in June was still 1.7 times more than their pre-pandemic unemployment rate at 4.9% in February 2020. So obviously it's only gotten worse. And you're playing with people's jobs like this. What was the intention behind that? Like,
That's the part I don't get. It's just to what get just clout, digital clout. It's just but a post that they think is gonna go viral. But my thing is, you're a digital. What is she? A communications person. Like, this is what she does, and she's not aware of the landscape right now. Like, she thought that post.
Talent acquisition consultant, entrepreneur, and this is the one that keeps hitting me in my chest.
That's the one.
Social media marketing consultant.
That's the one that I don't get. You would know in this climate, especially, that a post like that is not going to fly. That's the bottom line.
It's not. And then, so there was more. She's deleted her Twitter account since, but when this first picked up steam a couple of days ago, she was underneath all the comments offering rebuttals.
I didn't think that was her, to be honest, because when I went to that Twitter account, it had just been opened last month. So I was like, this seems like someone that's just taking advantage of,
you know, the account that I went to on Facebook.
This was on LinkedIn. It was a screenshot, from her Facebook and LinkedIn, apparently.
She was responding from a Twitter account that's gone now, and all of the responses were tailored to her faith. They were faith-based. You know, I made that post to encourage, and I made that post to help people and encourage people to ask for what they want and help people out. There was nothing helpful about that post. Yeah. Nothing.
Like, especially because you said, what was one of her titles? Talent acquisition?
Talent acquisition consultant. And so she's an entrepreneur.
For you to be in such positions and you say, I personally don't have the bandwidth to give lessons, like, it's in your wheelhouse that you could and maybe should. Not that I would know, but I feel like, why would it have done her such a disservice, especially as a woman of faith, to just be like, you know what, girl, you came in with $85,000, but, you know, this is what the budget is. This is what we can, like, does she get a break for keeping the rest of that? And if so, how, like, back to the original point, what is the intention behind this post? Because it just doesn't feel like there was anything good. Like, I know she, I guess, said once the lesson to be always ask for the salary you want or deserve, but it just doesn't feel like a teachable moment when there's so many things that you really should have done versus trying to teach this lesson.
Well, yeah. She's actually responded. She posted on her Instagram account a screenshot of another post that she made where she offers a little clarity. So let's break this down. You guys, you want to? Here we go. She says, the purpose of that post was to empower others not to end up like this particular candidate. Now, even right there, I already have an issue with her saying to end up like this particular
candidate. Like, you did this to this candidate. Like,
okay. Then she goes on to say, I want people to know their worth. I made that post at the risk of my job because it's not right that many don't know what their skills are worth.
Imagine shaming someone for not knowing their worth. Like, when you have an opportunity to change their whole perspective in literally a matter of minutes. Like, she's talking about bandwidth, right? Mm-hmm. But it would have taken 2 seconds to say, hey, you're asking this. We have this to offer. And just so you know, I'm hiring you and I think you're worth this. Congratulations. So excited to see what you do with this new company. And now moving forward, you've set a new bar for what your role is worth, and you never have to look back. The end.
The end and also the beginning, right? Because situations like that are life-changing for people.
Life-changing.
Do you know if she was expecting an $85,000 annual salary and you offer her what you can, $130,000, do you know how transformative that is for people's financial portfolio, for her lifestyle? Even that you have an opportunity, but even $100,000, you got $30,000 more in this budget. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
right.
anything would have been better than the paltry $85,000 that you gave her. And where's the rest of the money going?
Right.
Where's the rest of the money going?
Not to her. So it wasn't even worth it.
But you easily could have shaved anywhere between that 130 and that 85, even if it was a little bit or a lot of it, just to save for whatever the fuck the rest goes to or whatever. But there are so many things that she could have done. That's why I'm so annoyed with her trying to teach this lesson.
So annoyed. And now at one point in her original post, did she identify any shortcomings on this candidate's behalf or any reason that she would not have been inclined or prompted to offer this candidate not only what they were worth, but what was readily available for them, right?
Right.
You have to allocate that money. When money like that is in budgets for things like that in companies, you have to spend the money on something. You have to. Let's go forward with her statement, right? She says, I learned a lot from my recent post. I understand and now feel how my post made a lot of people feel, especially the candidate that was directly impacted by my choice. Okay, it doesn't feel good, and this should have gone differently. Now, to me, that's laying it on thick, and I don't buy that, but whatever. Then she says she deserves to be paid what she's worth from the company despite what she thinks the job responsibilities are worth. While this is a common practice in the hiring space, it should not have been a public learning experience, but an internal one. I hope for some it was a message about worth, but I don't take lightly the salary disparities that happen in corporations. It is not to be made light of. While that was not my intent, I have to acknowledge the impact of my statement. I hope to one day be able to help candidates be aware of the salary ranges they should ask for before it ends with another $45,000 difference in pay. I'm optimistic that you will see my heart and know I meant no harm. No. I'm not a risk taker, but I took this risk for another person. I don't know what race this candidate is. You a damn lie. All I know is that this candidate didn't realize they were worth so much more. I just wanted to instill confidence. Hashtag worth. Hashtag value. Hashtag this is honest. Hashtag be confident.
You know, we've already really said, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but it's just like she really, like, because there's just so many opportunities here where instead of her getting on Twitter and typing because she found the bandwidth to do that, again, earlier to Fran, like, she, a bandwidth, girl, you could have emailed her back, like, look, this is your offer for 85.
And that's that.
But you have this skill set for, you know, which is worth at least this, you know, do you feel like you're worth more than that? Or like, you know, hey, if I offered you this, how would that make you feel? Like, do you think that would make you feel you'd still be confident in this position?
Right. Just in case you offer it. And yeah. Tell her, Congrats.
Especially with your skill set and your positions as talent acquisitions. Like, there are so many things that you could have done to make this productive between you and this candidate. And then after you make them feel good about themselves, they could have tweeted about how great this experience was. And it could have came back on your feed because it went viral. You could have been like, oh, I did that. I actually planted that seed. But now look.
Yeah. You could have helped somebody, bro. And like, and no one is obligated to make anything any easier for anyone else, right? We're clear right. on that. However, when you work literally in talent acquisition, okay, your job is to bring people into this position and help them, right? Employ them. That's your job. You can't, she just seemed really smug, really haughty, arrogant, really nasty.
Elitist
yeah. for sure. The statement when she says, I offered her that because that's what she asked for. And personally, I don't have the bandwidth to give lessons on salary negotiation.
Yeah, that's the part that blew me.
Yeah. But when they get to tearing your ass up on Twitter because you once again won attention, jumped out there responding to people, now you want to hide and delete accounts and stuff, and now you want to take things down.
But even in creating the post, and I think that that's the issue that we have now, is that everybody wants to be a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to put something out there as content. It's like, just do your job. Like,
you didn't have to share that. She's
a recruiter. You do hire people and keep it cool. And unless you're creating content that is useful, like, hey, here's some tips for how to make your resume stronger. Here's some tips. You know, that could have been a blog post that was like, here are common mistakes that people make when negotiating salary. Like,
it
make
didn't have
it
to
useful.
Reflect a story of harmful
useful.
Actions. Yeah. You didn't have to tell us what you did to that woman. Now, me and Jade had a conversation about this on FaceTime because we actually timed how long it would have taken her to say, you know what, girl, it's this much money available. You asked for this, so I'm going to give you this. It was like 6 seconds while she talking about she's
not
bandwidth.
That's
then,
it.
The reason I even saw that Jade knew about this is because Jade had tweeted the lady's name and she said, such and such is a damn monster. And I tweeted. I had quoted the lady's tweet and I was like, I hope the candidate find out what you did to them, you crook. Because she a crook to me. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? She ain't nothing but mm-hmm. a damn crook. You done stole that money from that woman, basically. And, you know, theoretically, figuratively stolen this money from her that could have really helped change this woman's life. A $45,000 salary increase
during
is life changing.
During a pandemic.
And
like,
that's what
this, this person is still looking for a job, and everyone mm-hmm. knows how hard it is to find work right now in this time. So
that's
it's like,
it.
Oh my
there
goodness.
Was
well,
no,
you know,
the post backfired because she was too busy out here trying to embarrass somebody and then disguise it as teaching somebody.
Embarrass herself.
And you know what? It really makes it really pulls this veil. Like it makes you really look like how Dustin has been on his investigative reporting right now. Like it really makes you take a look and it's like, okay, so maybe this woman feels she's successful and has been working in these industries for however long, but does that mean she knows exactly what she's doing while she's trying to criticize somebody else for how they're trying to get in?
And I'm just going to say it. I hope I don't offend nobody, but this is how I feel. This is reflective mm-hmm. of a lot of the elitism, thank you, friend, that I see mm-hmm. represented in a lot of people who identify as churchy or church adjacent. You know, and they bring their faith-based principles or lack thereof into spaces where they don't belong. This girl calls herself a faith-fluencer online. What the hell is a faith-fluencer? And I told you, if I see one more picture in an outfit, stage and enthusiasm. Like, that's what this is all about. It's all a show, a dog and pony show for her. And you have people's livelihood in the balance here, okay? You cannot... Yeah. And you got the gall to say it shouldn't be made light of. And I understand the impact of my statement. Even that, her statement. You didn't make a statement. You ain't, what did Juicy say, Asante? You ain't nobody. You ain't made no statement. That's your damn problem. You're trying to shape shift this role that you're in into something that puts the attention on you when that's not what that position is about. And if you want to do something that has attention, then do that. that gets attention, do that. Don't bring that into spaces where it don't belong, because you end up ruining people's fucking lives and getting yours ruined in the process. I hope she didn't lose her job, but it don't sound like she was the most qualified to have it in the first place.
No, apparently she did. And all I kept thinking was, imagine being that candidate and seeing that post go viral and being like, that's the lady I had the interview with today. Like,
imagine how shitty she feels.
Yeah, that's got to be a crazy feeling. And you know what's so wild? Like you said, it was the smugness of this post that really killed it, you know? But imagine how much doper the post would have been if she was like, this is what the candidate asked for, and this is what I was able to give her.
And right. Or this is what the candidate asked for. This is what was available. The company didn't do it, but I found a way. I'm looking for her. If anybody has seen this, whatever the fuck,
like there was this, you wanted us to laugh at her. So different, right. And trying to... And trying to shame, that shit bit you right back. And that's unfortunate, but I think that's the problem with content creation. Everybody wants to turn everything into a piece of content, and everybody wants to be a guru, a like life coach.
And I ain't gonna front, I went through her Instagram, and she got posts on there talking about, I love filming, and I'm not gonna stop until I get this content creation thing down.
See, you
chasing a hole. You trying to do something totally different. You hit the money nail on the head.
You can always feel it. I see people where I'm like, bro, what it...
Faithfluencer, youth pastor, faithfluencer.
I'm looking through this Twitter thread, and they showed an earlier post where she said, where she put up, job seekers, if you believe you are management material and your skill set speaks to that, please start applying to management roles. Stop settling for entry level. Happy Monday.
You ain't gonna do nothing but give them an entry level salary when they apply for the management role. Eveline from The Wiz, that's who she is. Mean ass Eveline from The Wiz.
Like, and you know what? I don't know. Maybe this is something we're going to get into more when we have that guest friend talking about the, you know, parental stuff. Because I feel like this is one of those, like, you know, my mama was mean
tough
to
love.
Me. Or tough somebody love. Was mean to me. And so now that's how I'm going to teach you a lesson. And it's like
Coach Stormy.
Like people who have been hazed in their industries. And so they kind of, when they get a position of power, instead of trying to change the landscape, they just replace the gatekeeper.
And let's say this, you're absolutely right. And this is what people get fucked up. Hard work is necessary, right? Mm-hmm. But a bad experience is not. There are some jobs where you need the work and the preparation to be, literal preparation to be prepared to function at a high level and do the job effectively. Some things you can't just get pushed into, right? Some things you have to go through a training process to be good at. But when you are in a position to leave the door open for somebody else, to give somebody else a hand. If she's applying for this position, right? She's qualified. If she's applying for it and gets the job, she was the one that you chose, the candidate that was the best out of everybody. So
right,
she must have been qualified.
She didn't say anything about her skill set.
And she got the job. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, obviously she was qualified. You could have given her what she apparently deserved, and you chose not to. That's it at the end of the day. This was a huge lesson for me in people being performative, people posing for the internet, all of that shit. This is why clout chasing is so frowned upon and so over. You hear it so much, but this is what it is at its core. Mm-hmm. This is where it gets ugly. This is how it can end up. This is what the harm looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And now you walk around looking like a fool with your pants on the ground because everybody was like, no, bitch, we actually think that was fucked up. And you're a rotten person for doing that to that lady when you could have helped somebody out and changed their life. And that's the thing, y'all. People think I come down hard on people and stuff, but I'm actually the opposite when it comes to the way that I am. If I can help somebody, if I can make it easier for another qualified person, that's what you do. That is what you're supposed to do. So I just was so turned off by this, and I feel like if we share it and we talk about it with people, yeah, it's fun to make fun of this girl or whatever, but the real lesson here is to just make sure we not doing that in some other way in the shit that we do. If you have opportunity to make it better for someone who deserves it, do that shit. Right. Okay, so that you can advance a lot the of colored people,
what do they say? A lot of people ain't kinfolk.
Yep, skinfolk right. ain't kinfolk. That's you okay. know what I'm saying.
And you know what?
And it's people just trying to swap their spot at the table of tyranny. Like you remember said, that line? Yeah. I forgot what that hotel show we were watching, The White Lotus.
The White Lotus.
Remember they said that. It's just people waiting for their turn at the table of tyranny. And I never forgot that. I thought that was such a great line. Because it's true. People want to they just want to replace gatekeepers. They don't actually want to change anything. And that's the problem when you see shit like this.
It's really disgusting.
Especially when it comes down to at the end of the day, you don't have to help anybody or do anything for anybody. But just don't shit on nobody either. She didn't have to offer her. I mean, maybe part of her job was, if that's what they ask, give them what they ask for. And if that's part of your job, sure, that's your business, literally. So don't bring your business onto the social media thinking that you're criticizing. And especially if you want to help people.
She was proud of that shitty shit she did, right?
And going back, just looking at this one little previous post talking about, stop settling for entry level. It's like, okay, so you're trying to build this thread of you want people to do better. So do better by the same people you want to do better by. How y'all said, it only took 6 seconds to say what the offer was or the switch up. And if she had any doubts in her mind, she could have doubled back with do you have any hesitations about this job? Well, I feel like you were she could have easily been like, okay, look, I'm going to give you this because this is what the actual budget is. Moving forward, you need to operate like this because we as a people need to go for, or whatever the spiel needed could have been. If she would have actually started right then and there, instead of worrying about let me go in here and talk about this person. Let me just tell the world happened in my email
and it really is life changing. I only had one person do that for me in my entire career as a content creator. And I was charging, and I'll be transparent. At the time I was charging like $10,000 for a certain project, right? And the girl literally said to me, just a heads up, the budget is $25,000. And I was like, at first I was like, why would she tell me that? Like, I didn't even know how to respond to that. And then I said, okay, thank you. Noted. That's what I'll charge then. And she goes, great. Sending the contract due tomorrow.
An angel.
Moving forward, that became the baseline. So that's why I'm like, if she hadn't said that, do you know how long it would have taken me at that time to build up to that 25K? Because there's also that guilt of like, can I charge this? Is it too much? Will I start getting less work because people don't think I should pay? There's so much you're already going through as a Black person, as a woman, as a creative. And she set the bar for me quick with that. Quick email, was no bandwidth. She just said, heads up, this is what we have on some don't play yourself, you deserve more. Changed my life.
And what's crazy is, In certain positions of power, because it ain't all the time, but there are certain people that will allow any type of white in the building. Like, they can fail right into the door and they'll get paid top dollar to do it. Like, they just know that there's some money to give away and they'll give it away. And so it's crazy that there was this Black woman that was being stingy, and maybe it goes in her bonus. I don't know where this money goes, if it goes anywhere, but it's
she
just
probably
crazy.
Don't see it.
She no. probably it's, doesn't. That's what I'm saying. She probably a, doesn't even
pat.
See it.
It's
even
a pat if, on the back by your boss that you let you save them some money with the hiring process. Because
even if there was a little inkling of she gonna get a bonus down the road for keeping costs low or whatever, it's like, girl, you still would have got a bonus had you put in somebody that was going to do some great work and then actually be promoted in a few months or two. And then it's like, well, damn, you actually hired somebody that performs way better than we anticipated, girl. So you hiring top dollar performers, and just be like, oh, that's because I'm hiring Black women or Black people to be in the building. But she's just doing this so wrong, and I want people to redirect their thinking. And I hate that this is my lesson, but my lesson is, there are plenty of white people that fail upwards, people that are not qualified. And I'm not saying go out and give the job to anybody that's not qualified, but this woman pretty much made it seem like whoever she gave this role to was qualified because she didn't say anything about their skill set. So if you are in a position and you can help and you want to help somebody that seemingly deserves, they seem like they deserve it, go on ahead and do that and do it and let it go. Don't help them and then think to yourself, I did some good work. I need some recognition, and bring it to social media or try to go to your
fucking
boss and
crook,
do whatever.
And she's teaching a lesson. And she's teaching a lesson that white people are teaching already. We don't need you to make her question her worth. She questioning it because that's how we've been socialized. So you're not helping in any way. This isn't new information. You're not doing something revolutionary by making, you know, like, that's the part that blew me. Revolutionary is
thank
actually changing
you,
shit.
Fran. Thank you. How dare you?
Yeah.
That's, I just wanted to get that out. Bring that to people's attention and why it was so. Because it's really easy to feel like you're ganging up on everybody and just making fun of people or whatever. But once you start really crunching numbers and seeing
how... you're focusing on the issue, not the person.
Yeah, that's right. The issue. And that's why I wanted to have this deeper dive off of Twitter about it
where
more people can listen and really, like, absorb, you know, what you need to out of that situation. So that's all, you guys. That's it for this week's Hot Button, y'all.
Give
people the
awesome.
Damn money when you can, okay? Help a motherfucker
bottom
out when you
line.
Can.
Bottom line.
Help somebody.
Right. So let's bring in those wind chimes. Y'all are enjoying the new wind chimes. People are like, ooh, y'all upgraded the wind chimes. Shout out to Ty for that one.
Shout out to Ty.
So last week, I mentioned my daily stretch playlist, and I am so excited that a lot of you have jumped on board. You've been tweeting me, sending me DMs, pictures of you stretching. That makes my whole life because, honestly, I'm at day 32. Which is quite the accomplishment. That means I did it for every day in January and already jumping into February.
I wish I would have did it every day in January.
For those of you who have already noticed the benefits just from stretching since last week, and you know, you're a week in, and I actually went back and I saw a Twitter thread by Yogi Lanthropist. On
dope
Twitter,
name.
Started okay. a thread saying that because there are more white yogis on YouTube, obviously when you're doing a search, they're going to be the ones that it aggregates faster and at the top. You know, like they're going to be the ones that pop up more than the black and brown content creators because they don't get as many views and the algorithm is just not usually in our favor.
And the mats are more narrow.
So I thought of that when I saw the thread because I was like, my stretch playlist was like at the time when I posted it last week, it was like 40 videos and maybe only like 5 or 6 were women of color, black women. And it's because they weren't black women making stretch videos. Like that's all I found. Mm-hmm. But seeing her thread with what she did is she threaded all the black and brown yogi channels she could find. So I sifted through those channels and none of them had stretch videos. But what I did is that I found their most gentle yoga practices that could kind of take place. You know, it might not be a direct stretch video, but it's something you could do in the morning.
And make it kinda, enough.
Right. And it's like, it's
I love you, friend. I ain't got
you
no McDonald's. Make it enough.
It's still in alignment with the flow of the daily stretch playlist. And it made me happy because I was able now, if you go back, you'll see that almost every 2 or 3 videos at this point is a person of color, a black woman. So that made me happy. And also thank you to those of you who tweeted me, DM'd me and kind of put me on as well. Like, hey, can you add this person to your playlist? Can you add this person? Even sending me your own videos, which was really helpful because I wasn't fully aware either of like every black yogi on YouTube, but that helped me become aware and hopefully that will help them get more hits and traffic on their channel so that when people are looking for yoga and stretch, those videos come up and are ranked a little bit higher. So just wanted
to
give...
A hell of a resource.
Yeah,
that she created. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad she did that thread. Like I said, that's Yogi Lanthropist. I actually will tweet it out, or maybe I'll just put it in our info bar. That way you can go straight to it in case you want to check out the different channels she listed. But like I said, I also updated our daily stretch playlist so that it included pretty much one or two videos at least of all the yogis that she mentioned. I just kind of went through the channel real quick, like I said, and picked practices that were gentle enough to be able to include. So just wanted to give that quick update for those of you who are following along. Also, shout out to one of our listeners sent me a post about a robber that was robbing a Dunkin' Donuts in Philadelphia, but he did a stretch right before he robbed them. It was on camera. You saw him like stretching his arms and his hamstrings. And they were like, when you listen to Fran, but you're still a gangster. This is why y'all was so damn funny. But I thought that was hilarious. Because you see the picture in the news cover and he's like this, like right outside of the Dunkin' Donut. I thought that was hilarious. But today's wellness segment is about an app I want to put y'all onto called the FatMap app. And it is for those of you, I told you I've been hiking because that's why I moved here to the PNW. We have awesome access to nature. And
look at you to the PNW.
You see me?
Look at you. Go ahead, friend.
Okay, so now being out here in the Pacific Northwest, we have so many hikes and trails, and they're everywhere. And I wanted to make sure that I was aware of all the hikes and trails I had access to. And not only that, just even like what activities do we have access to? So in doing a quick Google search, I ended up finding this app called FatMap, and it's super dope. I'm actually going to pull up. It's considered the definitive guidebook to the outdoors, so you can plan and navigate safely. It has the assistance of cutting edge technology. So if you look at it, it's like if you're going for like a hike or a trail walk, it'll have the mountain in 3D. So you can see exactly where you're cutting through, what the trail looks like, how far it is. It tells you whether it's a moderate hike, whether it's a difficult hike, if it's an easier one. That way you can really prepare. And they use local experts to really help with planning those trails too, just to make sure you're safe and guided properly. And it has everything from the mountains to the deserts, oceans, forests, beyond, all kinds of activities. If you're looking to kayak, hike, I mean,
wow, this is really incredible.
It's really the ultimate, like you said, definitive guidebook to the outdoors. So if you're someone that is maybe looking to plan a road trip, or maybe like me, you live close to nature but hadn't really like set the intention on like what to do, where to go, and how to plan it, this app is so incredibly helpful. We found this trail that's like the 10 Waterfalls Trail. It's a hike, and as you're hiking, it's a long hike. I think it was like 7 miles. Definitely like an all day thing, but you pass 10 waterfalls.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean, it is the coolest thing. And obviously you don't have to do the whole hike in one day. You can kind of do as many as you can. But it was cool to just be able to plan it through this app and know exactly where we needed to drive to, know exactly where to enter to get that particular trail. We knew how long it was going to take. We knew if it was going to be hard. We knew which parts of the trail were going to be harder. So just felt very, Dustin, we just felt very guided, you know, and it felt, because I do have that fear too, that I'm very new to being like in the woods this much, Dustin. So it's nice to have an app. Mm-hmm. That will make me feel like I know what the hell I'm doing. Mm-hmm. A big fat map app. So if you're interested in the outdoors, or maybe this is the nudge. Maybe this is the nudge that you needed. Definitely check this app out. The nudge
that you needed.
Okay. They got everything on here. All terrains. So check it out. Whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into. So I just wanted to put both of those things, the updated daily stretch. I wanted to put both of those updates into your awareness.
I like putting stuff updates too.
And I hope that you find them both useful. Asante. What's the music, man? What you got for us this week?
Segwaying.
It's a great wellness segment this week, Fran. Great. Great.
Yeah, we have been. We have been.
I mean, we 2 for 2.
Didn't get me this week.
That's the sad. All right, Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
Segwaying and speaking on something earlier you were discussing, I would love to see a bunch of the black yogis get together. And do you remember that old Oxygen show where the they would do like the yoga and they would play the music? Like
wait, what? No.
Back in the day, oh my God, I think I've talked about this before, but when I was in high school, right? Well, back in the day, first of all, Oxygen used to randomly play like this, like yoga in the morning. Like it was like...
What? I missed that.
It would be people doing yoga and there was like the one instructor like going around like telling everybody, like saying little stuff. Like I don't know if he was talking about poses or just talking to them, but it was like a room full of people just doing the yoga and they're like these like little beats. It's like... It was like this like real hippie-ish music. I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of something.
Oh, no, I missed that.
But in high school, the drama teacher that we had, for whatever reason, she was like the newer drama teacher. She was just trying to keep us busy. So she would play these yoga tapes for us. And I was like, girl, we are not doing this. Like, but we're going to let you play these tapes so we could just have a free period. Anyway, so I always remembered that. And it would just be so dope if there was like just a bunch of black folks doing yoga. And, you know, whether it was regular black folks and then the yogi goes around and helps them, you know, get their lives together. Or if it was more advanced classes with the advanced yogis, like that would just be really dope.
Right. Yeah, more community around it. I mean, honestly, I have a project that I have in mind that I'm working on here that's going to take a couple of years, to be honest. But it's in line with that. Like, I want to create more community around wellness and the black people that are in Portland. And to be honest, my partner is actually kicking off our project because he is going to be a certified yoga instructor.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing, y'all know, considering like who he is. Him as a yoga instructor. Exactly. I just feel like it's going to be bomb.
Girl.
When have you seen an instructor that looks like him? You just don't see that. And then being here in Portland, let's be real, they're going to be lined up, okay?
The money like, being made around there. That's all okay. I got to say, friend. Y'all, no wonder you painted the walls green.
Okay. Hours and hours.
Friend said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Well, look at all this. You know what you fit? Let me tell you what we finna do.
Like,
hours and
right?
hours.
Friend.
No, but honestly, yeah. I hope that, you know, it's something that we talked about and he's going to move forward with that just to kind of set our wellness in Portland plans in motion. And I'm so excited about it. And even this daily stretch playlist and the community it's creating, like these are all seeds that I'm slowly planting. And hopefully in the next couple of years.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, you know, just having some business opportunities that will create more community for the people that are wellness-based and interested out here. So, right?
Girl, you're so shrewd. I just want you to know that. You're so shrewd and savvy. I just want you to know
You know
that,
I'm
friend.
Always Love trying to think the next move. But...
10 steps ahead.
Well, Mr. Music Man want to come along, friend. That's all I'm going to
yes!
say on that.
Come on. You can be the DJ.
Asante.
Look, if I was able to touch that thread, which then was imaginary to me, then, you know, I can only imagine what other things you got cooking up over there.
Very excited. But go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah, of course. Speaking of cooking things up, we've got some new music out. Oh, actually, you know, speaking of cooking things up, congratulations to Rihanna. And ASAP Aww. Rocky. Jiggy Fenty's coming. I don't know what they're going to call the baby. ASAP Fenty. I don't know. ASAP Rocky. Fenty. Whatever. I'm here for it. I love the
baby.
Love
the photo shoot. Love that it was in Harlem.
Love
Shout
it. Right
Harlem.
By the seafood spot. Right by
okay.
the seafood spot. 125th
right
and Broadway.
Right on 125th.
Honey.
I love that they had on their boots and puff coats. I was like, come on.
Love
stay
it.
True to it. It was really cute to me. I also thought it was so chill of her. Like, she's just like, oh, here, I'm having a baby. It's like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Okay.
It just makes you love Rihanna even more.
So
it
much
does.
More.
Everybody's so happy for Rihanna.
Mm-hmm. For Rihanna, yes.
We all love Rihanna. We so happy for her.
Congratulations to them both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their first baby.
So. But that baby's about to be beautiful, though. I can tell you that. That's about to be a beautiful baby. Beautiful. And it's going to have a cool ass name. I can't wait. It's going to be a cute baby.
Send her a safe delivery. Yeah. I hope she has a healthy, smooth, healthy, safe
beautiful
delivery.
Baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Rihanna.
So that means y'all ain't getting no album no time soon. No. You know, Rihanna fans been waiting on her album. And, you know, if Rihanna doesn't come back to music, I mean, of course, we would feel like there's a bone to pick. But she is just still so successful that I'm glad she gets to, you know, do whatever she want to do. And she's still successful in other arenas. So being a mom is also successful. So I just am excited to see this new chapter. I just want some songs. I mean, yeah, of course. But
I want some songs. I want to feel like I'm the only in the world. Oh, you know, I want all that shit.
Rihanna said, sorry to that man.
Man she said, down. Feels like a brand new person.
Okay. Rihanna is busy. Okay, don't go looking for Rihanna. She is a mother now. Okay.
Don't look for her between 2 or 3, okay?
Outside of that, there is tons of new music out, but I want to just actually go on ahead and get into the listens lately because
I have one more I Am a Mom.
Please.
Do it again, Asante.
I am a mom. Oh, no, what did she say? I am a mother. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Keely.
You knew that. You said Keely?
From
Uncle. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Well, so formerly of Cheetah Girls and 3L. No, I'm just kidding. So,
put some respect
apparently,
on the name.
Naturi has said something, or there was media that Naturi says something, because I don't know if she actually did. I forgot what that was.
Naturi be talking shit. What she does is she laughs every time they ask her about what she be on the red carpet for her network television shows that she's starring in.
What and they ask her about she stayed working.
Been working. Okay. Like, literally, never look back. And
left
when they
that
ask her.
Went to Broadway, been on.
What?
Did
the Playboy Club on NBC.
Oh,
all that shit.
And she was good on that, too.
Good as fuck on that show. Good 2, 3, 4 times. Look, then she. Every time they ask her about 3LW, she'd be busting out laughing, like waving it off every time they ask her about it. And that shit be hitting Keely and them. So, you know, when they had, you know, when they brought it up, you know what I'm saying?
You know, so Keely felt like she had to address her Instagram when she told the people, she was like, I'm at home, I am a mother, I'm minding my own business. And the way she said, she's like, I do remember that.
She's like, don't try to reel me into this bullshit.
But she was already reeled in from that video because then, you know, later on, she is on the encore.
And when Naturi laughed on that carpet, my feelings might be hurt.
Quietly, I just kept y'all, especially since we're in the Music Man segment. I have been listening to that Blueprint Project. There are just certain songs I still come back to.
Friend, lay your bones.
Friend, yes.
I'm glad someone is.
You know what it is? Look, friend, you really want to know what it is, though. The Spotify radio will be putting them tracks in there.
Well, that's good.
And every time they come on, it's nostalgia from the show, but there are actually good moments in the music. So it's like, okay, these, like, when Shamari be doing her parts, I'd be like, you know, Shamari really went up here. Like, there's just some
Went off on Go Don't Leave. I don't care what nobody said. Went off. And them Cherish Girls, them twins went off on that Bill Fucker, too. Go Don't Leave is a sleeper on that album, I'm telling you.
The fact you know names. The fact you know songs.
That's the stuff.
Listen. I was in the shower, so I couldn't get to my phone. All I was, I got him gassing up the yacht, which always takes me out. Anyway.
Oh, my Lord.
Just certain parts in that song, I'm just like, you know what? This was some.
Meanwhile, Pam wanted him to gas up the Ark. How you gonna be gay and about
it? I still want a reunion for the encore. But anyway, as I said, I'm ready to hear what y'all been listening to. So
you go first, friend. Ooh, ladies first. Ladies first. Go ahead, friend.
I'm trying to look, and I think I had one of those weeks again where I was main. I wasn't listening to music. I was listening to podcasts.
You had to have the radio off while you was driving now.
Nah, I ain't
You ain't
there
got
yet,
no time
now.
For that Bluetooth and all that.
Wait, what'd you say, Fred? I ain't there yet now.
It's a lot going on.
Imagine somebody call you and you struggling to answer the phone. You're like, hello, I'm driving. Like, bitch, you're on the radio. Like, girl, I gotta call you back.
I know. I ain't getting to phone calls for a while. I know that much.
Friend, like, I ain't looking my phone to shit up in here. I'll put this in drive and park and maybe reverse. Okay. Maybe.
She's like, let me put my phone on airplane mode. I don't need no stress while I'm driving.
No, legit. Like, ain't there yet. I've been listening to podcasts, honestly. I've been back in my crime junk. I kind of fell
Ooh,
off
okay.
from oh, listening Lord. To true crime shit just because I was like, this is a little dark, but now I'm back.
So you ain't no been music. Watching nothing dark then either, huh?
On TV, yeah. Actually, I have a Crime Zone episode I need to prep because I saw some shit on 2020 that had me be like, this would be a perfect episode for y'all's commentary, and I just need to prep it because it is so many twists and turns. You thought Natalia Grace was crazy?
Oh shit.
Bring it on.
I have to prep it, right? I gotta prep it. But yes, no on. music, no music for me this week.
All right, Fran said no music,
right?
All right, Dustin, what you got for us? I know you've been over there crunk as hell.
So I got a few things for you. See? Okay, first See? Of all, this is my favorite song right now. I don't give a damn what nobody got to say. And it ain't just because of TikTok. This ain't no TikTok shit. Shout out to Sean Garrett, The Skin. Hold on one second. Yeah. It's Time Machine by Money Long.
Yeah.
Yes, Money Long.
Decisions like working with the bad boys who fuck all the women, and then somewhere there's a transition, turn the good girls into bad bitches. But she would do it over if she had 3 wishes. She is me. One, I wish I never fell in love. Two, I wish I never fell.
That's like my favorite song right now. I can't
hold you. Love Money Long. Shout out to Money Long. She got 2 back to back. 2 hits.
Honestly, the whole thing is crack. The whole thing.
So it's like, an album or an EP?
EP.
EP. It's called Public Displays of Affection.
Yeah.
Okay, let me save that right now because no, I need to sit
no
with
signals
that
today. A bop, of course. And then the visuals that she has out too, because that visual for Money no R&B Long. Is super dope with Anne Marie. Shout out to her. Shout out to everything Money Long is doing. I love her. But that's another.
This is my other favorite song. I got you. This is Benny the Butcher and J. Cole. It's called Johnny P's Caddy.
Yeah. Ten to talk four, and this shit mean a lot to me. You know, this shit don't feel as good as it look. I'ma keep it real with you. I'm straight though. The street shit made me what I am today,
niggas. Know I went so hard for this shit. I deserve this shit, niggas.
Ah. What you coming, nigga? This ain't my story about rags to riches, more about how I mastered physics. In a game, I used to train like Rocky, catching chickens. I was nice, but they was right when they told me that rap was business. I had 10 bands in my stash when I passed over 500,000. Kameezy, no good. Don't be surprised I'll last these niggas. It's like they put out a smash, then they gone in a flash, admit it. And then they make tracks and disses like that's gonna add up the digits. They showing fake racks and pictures like that's gonna attract the bitches. That was really me, nigga. I ain't have to act and conflicted. Only difference is I'm living, and I would've whacked one of them niggas who knew that after.
The whole song sound like that, but that's the jam, that's though. Johnny
I'm
P's
so
Cabby. Vinny Butcher, J. Cole. Last song I'm gonna play for y'all, even though I could play some more. The last song I'm gonna play is by Babyface Ray. It's called Sincerely Face, and this is my shit.
Now I can sit and tell you about the diamonds on my chest, like everything was easy. Spoke to Fat Boy the other day, say still getting money, what's new? All my latest problems come from bitches, so you know I had to cut them all loose. You know I got the juice like I had, bitch, you know I did not do him off the roof. Bitch, nigga, you your mama's boy. All these
these free bands get my bitch for. Breaking my rules, you get sent for. That really feel my wrist like it's meant for. Me and small fry, I'm big boy. Getting chips more, drink thug. Got these bad bitches, suck your dick more. Burn his eye, got my own pack. Give me 6-4, don't bite. Sip me up and down like a 6-4. Sprint to that money, got me out of breath. Little nigga at the grown court, still yelling Nick. I know heaven real, man.
Ow! Hey! You know, I like that shit. I like that.
I like that too.
That's some Detroit ass shit right there.
Who
shout out to
it?
Babyface Ray. Babyface Ray.
Babyface
Detroit
Ray.
Rapper. Hell yeah. That's Sincerely Faced by Babyface Ray. So that's all I've been playing. There's some other shit I could, you know, play, but I ain't even gonna do all that. You know what I'm saying? That's it. The Chainsmokers got a dope new song called High. So check that out too.
You want to play a little snap?
All right, I play it fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we like it all. Yeah, we know we don't discriminate. Discriminate.
Through the same shit every night. Oh, I, oh, I. You always swear that it's gonna change, but it never does.
That little vocal, y'all caught that little vocal. Yeah, acting like this shit's gonna change. I was like, ooh. I said, that's, wait a minute, the chain, what was the chain smoker smoking? Okay.
Just give me a little Paramore or something like that.
I said, a vocal, heard a tinge. I heard a tinge of vocal. I heard it. So I was happy.
Listen.
And those are my picks for the week.
Some of them, that's why I used to really love those emo songs, because it felt like they was really trying to reach for something. I was like, okay. Like
they be singing on them songs, dog. I'm telling you.
I feel you. I feel you. Speaking of this song.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before you move on. You know the Chainsmokers, they had like a tour or something that was called the Friend Zone. Do you know that?
Oh, for real?
And so this funny thing was happening where people would hashtag meaning us, but it would be... But and then members of the Chainsmokers would hit me like, hey, that's our name. But they were like joking, you know. and then they would like hit me and pretend like, hey, that's our stuff. Hey, that's our thing. And it'd be like our live shows and our tour and our episodes. But it was like in a really funny, playful way. But
shout
I didn't
out
even
to the
know
yeah,
that they were
the
big. Yeah, I didn't even know they were big like that, because truthfully I was unfamiliar. So when he would leave me comments being silly about us sharing this hashtag, I was like, who is this? And I clicked it.
I was like, okay.
Shout out to the chain. Hey, chain smokers, let us open up your tour. That's what's up.
Yeah.
The friends
are on
love to host y'all tour the Chainsmokers. I've been a fan. I love your work.
He's been a fan.
Yeah. I'm like, go ahead and play that.
Well, I thought that was cute.
Right here.
We definitely share a hashtag with them, so it's kind of funny every time y'all tag us on IG.
In good company. Hilarious. What's up, Chainsmokers? Let's smoke one.
Okay.
I'll wear my chain.
Just a few random songs to play. Again, the Spotify radio has been ruling my life, but I think this week there was more focus on the Pollen playlist. So there are a couple songs that I'm going to play off of the Pollen playlist that I kind of was like, oh, okay, this is something cool. This first song I'm going to play, it's from a group called Taki Monster. I felt like I've seen the name before, but I wasn't familiar with the group.
You have.
But
that's the lady that didn't give that woman that money for that job.
you know, almost to that, this song is actually their song that's on the Squid Game soundtrack for Netflix.
It's a girl, though. Isn't it a girl?
Yeah.
A woman, I should say. Yeah. I actually saw a documentary about her. I feel like it's her, where she had, like, brain damage.
Really?
Yeah, she had something happen. She had like severe brain damage or something happened, and it totally changed her music, because she was an artist before that. Yeah, and I saw, so I actually recognize the name. She's like a producer and a DJ. Wow. And all that.
Well, this song is called The Flower Blooms, and she's still making good music. Here we go. And yeah, of course, y'all can recognize this. So,
oh yeah, I fuck with that.
You know, I know the Squid Game little sound. It is creepy, but the song started going. And I was like, damn, I am so mad that I'm fucking with this.
Yeah,
so you know, Pollen always got some stuff on it. And again, this is another track from the Pollen playlist. This song is called.
That's the best playlist on Spotify. Period. Like
yo.
That was also the best description of the song. Asante said the song started going off, and it did. The song just started going off all of a sudden, like, shit, I'll be a nigga. Hey. I'll be a nigga. I like
it. This next song is, again, I heard these from the Pollen playlist, but this artist, their name is Yeek, Y-E-E-K, and this song is called Freaky, in parentheses, RGB. It's just been like this really cool, like low vibe, but like still kind of up tempo, lo-fi. There's just like some really cool music on that Pollen playlist, and I was playing it while I was
sitting. Have sex. That's good.
That was so specific, Dustin. Microdose and have sex.
Well, maybe. I just needed to.
I like that.
Okay, see? It's just good to play like little up-tempo music when I'm keeping myself holed up in my office and I got my little crossword puzzles, my playlist when I'm trying to bullshit and I get work done. So these are some of the songs I'm listening to. Outside of those, a little bit more for the late night vibe. An artist by the name of Nyjah, No Queen. I feel like I've mentioned her on the show before. She dropped a project called Don't Say I Didn't Warn You. There are a lot of really dope songs on here. She's a singer-songwriter, and I think she's like really breaking out as an artist now. This project came out January 28th, so it's still fresh. That was last Friday, I believe. She has a really cool visual that I used to watch for Ease My Mind, Come Over, but I'm going to play a song. This one's a little bit older, but this whole project just came out, so there's newer songs if you've heard any of these songs, but I just love her music. So this song is called Finesse. So I feel like if you get roped into with a little finesse, you're going to listen. And again, the project's called Don't Say I Didn't Warn You, because I did.
I'm trying to stay away from you. You know I'm trying to keep my distance. Somehow you always get your way, don't you? You get me right back in my feelings, oh, oh. You got bad intentions, baby, I could tell. You don't like seeing me with nobody else, Say come in, give me your affection. Finesse, finesse, always
Mitchell.
That's dope.
That's Mitchell.
That's Finesse from Nyjah. She dropped this project, Don't Say I Didn't Warn You. There's 10 songs on there. It's only going to take you less than 30 minutes to get through the project, unless you're going to spend a little bit longer replaying songs, which you will be doing because it's that dope. Just like you like with that Money Long project.
Me
too. So shout out to the singer-songwriters breaking out in the singing. I love it. Love to see it. Love when people have these words that we've fallen in love with and we get to hear their voices and see their faces as well. So that does it for the Music Man segment. Dustin Ross, I would love to know what you've been watching over there in TV land.
First of all, Abbott Elementary. So if you don't know, now you know. And you can take this time right here to subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/thefriendzonepodcast, where we discuss Abbott Elementary in depth in episodes of The Binge every week when we recap the show. So that's a little incentive for you. other than that, I've been watching Jocelyn's Cabaret, Las Vegas. More of the same. So I have to say, it's more of the same. More fighting.
Can we just talk about a couple things?
That clip I saw where the girl was doing capoeira, I was like, "What is happening?"
She's talking about the church girl when she took down Lexi.
That wasn't capoeira because she did the whole like banana way, banana way, banana. I was like, "Oh shit!" But it worked because she made the girl drop.
Friend, that girl's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's the girl from last week. Oh,
she playing with God and shit, and I, you know, like,
listen,
I'll do enough sinning on my own. I don't need her, you know what I'm saying, putting no shit on me, shit, for Jocelyn's fucking cabaret. If I'm a burn in hell, it damn sure ain't gonna be at the hands of Jocelyn Hernandez, okay, and Zeus, you know what I'm saying? I'll do enough sinning on my own, so I've been steering clear of her. Other than that, I really literally cannot stand Miss Wet Wet. I don't even know where she just
smiled. Oh, yeah, I can't even.
But I cannot stand her, my nigga. Like, I can't stand her, period. I can't.
I have to confess.
You like her?
No, but I'm off and on with Amber. Like, you know, she's just one of those girls that... She came in real hot, and not gonna lie, I liked her at first when she pulled off Wet Wet's wig in the car.
She just went all the way left.
And then she keeps going all the way left. But, you know, those girls were gonna come in there and fuck with them. And I didn't realize it was gonna be to that extent. But, because, just so you know, friend, because I know you were just like getting information, so we're gonna really give it to you. Two girls returned from last season. One girl, her name is Chanel, she won $10,000. And one girl, she was just such a bad bitch that Jocelyn just couldn't help but not bring her along. Lexi Blow.
They was also two of the blandest, boringest, no personality having women in the house.
No.
Lexi Blow was definitely a filler girl. Chanel was always switching sides, and they were the two that they brought along. So it's like, those are the two you brought to season three. So then all the new girls, they already thinking, A, we want to be your bottom bitch, so we want their position, and then their fans, too. So it's like, B, we already don't like them, and we know that they weak, so we're going to get at them when we can. That's what this girl Amber is, like, really coming from.
Okay.
So Jocelyn attempts to put them in a position of leadership somewhat, but it never works because the girls have zero respect for the girls from last season. They don't care about them.
And they're not even on one accord.
Yeah, they're even more driven to be disrespectful and ignore any sort of leadership role that those girls take on. They immediately, like, tell them, no, we don't give a damn. Y'all ain't running shit. We actually hate y'all, bitch. Y'all ain't shit but some bitches from last season. Like, literally just go off on
Jesus.
Them. And I can't believe it.
Chanel don't know. She's just supposed to walk up on bitches like she Jocelyn. Like, that's what Jocelyn
Amber,
expects.
Right. That's it. Amber, I'm on the fence with Amber. While I do like her, like when she was saying that Wet Wet was singing like she was on the fucking Voice. This ain't the fucking Voice. That was hilarious. When Wet Wet named her breast implants Wet. Paris and London. And what? Amber said, bitch, they look like Cook County. Like, that was funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, so she's funny. She's really funny, but she just goes overboard with it, and it's just too much, and it makes it, like, not enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
I don't like that white girl. I can't even remember her name, but the one that said that she calls herself Becky or whatever because, she, you know, pale skin, black hair, you know, more white. And so when she said that, I didn't like that shit. And when she said that in her confessional, and then when she called what them girls was doing ghetto, all that ghetto shit or whatever, I didn't like none of that. So I got my eye on her racist ass. I think she's a fucking racist. And that's it.
Next week we get to see them dance.
Yeah, then like they was pulling that girl had a witchcraft book and a Bible and like
that was going to cap away her friend. Shit,
like,
Dustin, what is a witchcraft book?
That's what they said. She had a witchcraft book. I'm telling you, she did. She had a motherfucking witchcraft book. And I'm like, well, bitch, you ain't finna put one on me, bitch.
Yeah, there was like a little fountain in front of the house. They threw her stuff in there. And then somebody was like, why are you throwing the suitcases in there? Let's open it up and throw all her stuff in there.
Because
they open the suitcase, and the first thing they see is a damn witchcraft book.
A witchcraft book.
So they still did it. Even after seeing the witchcraft book.
It was already floating in there. They literally were just going to... I mean, she just continued to take stuff out of it and toss it into the pond.
I'm like, you playing with the wrong...
Yeah, no, seriously. That girl. And then, especially because there's an opportunity that she might come back into the house. So, we'll see next week.
But like I said, that's them sirens you hear in the background is probably the morality police coming to get me for watching Jocelyn's Cabaret Place.
I need to watch. I keep saying that, and I never do it.
So that's been good.
Did you watch the Chancellor reunion?
I want to give a... You know who needs an Olympic gold... If fist fighting was an Olympic gold medal sport... Roly Poly's motherfucking ass.
Oh my God.
Win a gold medal. Cause she's a woman, she's a large woman, right? Like really large. And you would not expect her to be as physically agile and like literally light on her feet. Got in 4 fist fights, but was it 4? It was 3 for sure.
It had to be at least 4.
But back to back to back and never lost stamina, never lost steam. And I mean, she's like a... Like she's a natural born ass whooper. I'll never forget, it was this girl in Detroit. Shout out to Glenda. Glenda, you know who you are. But Glenda's mother told me that, because Glenda was known for like beating girls up and stuff. Glenda's mother told us when she was a little girl, she had beat somebody up or whatever. And the man told her, ma'am, your daughter is a... I think it was the bus driver. Glenda had beat somebody up on the bus or something. The guy was like, your daughter, it was just like a pit bull. She just locked on the little girl. I'll never forget. But that's how Roly Poly was. She was locked in just friend.
Every time.
Full throttle, no, never tiring out, just beating ass on
people
demand.
People like that are scary. They don't take no breath. They don't need no break.
And that, like, she was yelling. I'm like, you need to be a singer because your breath control is incredible. Asante, she never went hoarse. I'm not exaggerating.
She lost literally no steam. You didn't see her breathing hard at any point. And she was getting it in.
She's
like
a superhero. Real talk. Like,
honestly. She made it up the stairs and was still twerking in the window after the fight. Your girl was gone. Roly.
Call Letitia, non-vaccinated. Tell her we got a new one for you, baby. You need to put her in butt.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, please.
Yo, no shot. I won't shoot the sheriff. It's like, get the damn shot. What's wrong with you?
Can I just say that I appreciated this story arc of reunions for this? I mean, even though there was a lot of fights, they did actually get through the reunion. There were a lot of... I mean, it was one of the better reunions that have occurred on Zeus, I will say.
Yes, and shout out to Claudia Jordan for asking the right fucking questions, because she was literally going there asking if she want to know, like, so is this for real? Like, are you really looking for love? Or, like, what is this about? Is this just...
And addressing things head on. Like, when she asked if those girls wanted a rematch, she wasn't like, y'all want a rematch? Y'all want to go here?
She was just like, so y'all going to fight again, basically.
Like, she's trying to figure out, like, what are we going to do? We going to talk today? We going to fight today? Because I came here to talk.
That sounded like a green light and a bell for them young ladies. And they
a green light and a bell.
For real, friend. I'm going to show you.
That's the name of this episode.
Green light and a bell. Friend, it was unbelievable. Like, when you see
the
vigor and vim with which these women were fighting, I had just never, like, they were so spirited. I had just never seen anything like this.
It was crazy.
And I love watching fights. Y'all know that. But anyway, so that's been good on television. Also, again, it's probably not the best thing to transition to next, but also watch the Women of the Movement. I keep telling you guys, watch Women of the Movement.
Your range.
It's only 6 episodes.
Your range.
Incredible, incredible show produced by Will Smith and Jay-Z. The story of Mamie Till, Emmett Till's mother, and just seeing this. You need to see it, y'all. Please just watch Women of the Movie.
That's so what I meant to it. Watch please. This weekend, and I couldn't remember. Where is this? Hulu?
Hulu, yes. Go straight to Hulu. Women of the Movement, yep. Okay. Watch Women of the Movement. And just remember, you'll know which one it is because the main character looks just like Shar Jones. Shar Jackson. Shar but it's not Jones. Shar Jackson. Okay. I was thinking about Star Jones and Shar Jackson. But no, she looks just like Shar Jackson.
Star Jones' daughter? No, I'm sorry. That was...
I'm going to watch maybe it today.
Maybe she has more tenacity. Yes, but it's really good. mm-hmm. So just watch those things. In addition to that, what else have I been watching? Of course, Euphoria. I can't get enough of that. Another so great episode good. In the books. Yes.
Shit is crazy.
Cal you know is what crazy.
You know what I caught mm-hmm. up on, Dustin?
What's that?
Ghost. What is it? Power Book?
Ghost. Okay, yes, yes. Can you believe Monet hung that lady? And they gonna say it was suicide. Monet hung that bitch. She told her, bitch, jump in the rope, bitch, with a gun. Monet don't give a damn. And Fran, the way she be cussing Diana, bitch, I'll kill you. Talking to her children. Her children. Monet, and then Fran, the way she just lied to Zeke this last time. No, Zeke, yeah, I was right here. Just lying. Monet don't give a fuck. I love Monet, man.
No, but that whole scene where he was like, that's your mama and that's your daddy. I was like, what the hell? What I realized about this show is that it really is a soap opera. This is just our version of our grandparents' stories. Because it is there are parts of it that are so dramatic. When, what's his name?
When she found that Bible.
When Tariq was like, it's just me. My family and my gun. And then it was like silence. I was like, shut up. No, Fran. It's just too much sometimes. The writing kills me, but I'm like, this is our stories. I get it.
Fran, I want Brayden's brother to die. They need to kill his motherfucking ass in the next episode.
What do you think of Effie?
I like her, but she a hoe-ass bitch for snitching on Tariq. Fuck her. You know what I'm saying? We still on Tariq's side because we still on Goose's side. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a pecking order here. So,
yeah,
you know
that
saying?
Surprised me because I thought she was more of like his ride or die. So that was like, oh, okay. I guess not.
She don't care about nobody but herself. And Courtney,
right. Yes,
Courtney
I'm loyal,
Kemp.
Baby.
Yeah, Courtney that, Kemp,
who
got
created
made
and
clear.
Writes this. She does videos every week afterwards, like answering fan questions and stuff.
Oh,
and she
okay.
Was, yeah, and she always gives like little gentle hints and stuff. And she said that in season 3, we're going to learn a whole lot more about Effie. She said Effie's story is a big part of season 3.
Lord.
And they just started shooting season 3, by the way. I seen Mary J. Blige on set with that Monet red wig on again, scowling. I was like, I love Mary J. You know what? Everybody do because
she
just got nominated for an Image
Award. She's so damn mean all the time. I was like, has she smiled this season?
Hell no. We talking about Monet Tejada. She don't give a fuck.
Have we experienced a moment of joy? Is there anything that made her happy?
The closest we got was when she was walking with Lorenzo on the beach, which she was only doing. Remember when they went to Coney Island in the last episode? She had that badass fur vest on. I love fur. Fuck me. But, she was smiling, but she was only smiling because she was fucking stringing him along so they could rob her real other baby daddy.
I
shit.
Mean,
like,
it's a mess. This show is
her
a
and
damn
Diana
mess.
Going through each other's drawers back to back. Remember when they was going through each other's room looking for shit?
This
I ain't the only
crazy.
One that's fucking somebody I ain't supposed to be fucking either. She's fucking somebody named Dante. And Zeke, that's your mom. She's ain't your fucking auntie. That's your mama.
That's
she
your
joined
mama.
The live. She joined the live and said
and
that
Zeke,
was the most fun scene to shoot. Like,
and Zeke
season,
is lost.
Said,
Zeke looks lost in every scene. Do you know he's a singer?
He looked like it.
In real life,
show.
We found his music video. He's an R&B singer.
Oh, good, Zeke. I'm going to have to check out his music. Because the way you just told me, you really want me to watch it. I can tell. So I'm going to look up Zeke's music.
Mm-hmm.
Must run in the family. Zeke's auntie, his auntie mama is a singer, too.
Auntie
I've seen
mama.
The memes where they've been like, wait till Zeke find out
mama.
His mama is really Mary J. Blige. Then they had memes. So they had memes of Naturi Naughton performing on the ABC show she's starring on now, Queens. You know, oh, they play Queens. Rappers and stage performers.
Yeah, yeah.
So with people Eve. Have taken screen caps of her on stage performing on that show and been like, Tasha don't, shaking my head, Tasha don't give a fuck about Tyreek. She on tour. and they got Naturi in them outfits. Tariq fight for his life and Tasha don't give a damn. That's cold. Tasha on tour.
I love Twitter. I swear. As that's crazy amazing. As that site is, they funny as hell.
But that's it. Those are my only shows for this week.
Well, that's perfect. It.
Oh, and then don't forget to watch Turnt Out with T.S. Madison on Fox Soul.
Oh, I need to
also
see that
support
too.
TGIF, Claudia Jordan show on Fox Soul, and Cocktails with Queens. Claudia Jordan and my girl Selena Johnson are on that show too. So,
oh, nice.
Watch those shows.
Okay. Yes. Well, anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here?
Nope.
That's it.
Not for me.
That's
I'm
it. Make
sure my lips, you know.
Okay, me too over here. Yeah, shout out to Vaseline.
Okay. And Blistex.
Jack Black.
Okay. So, as always, we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.